Imagine, you're at an exclusive party. Across the crowded room, you spot the most stunning man. You spit take your champagne. He keeps approaching, and then he says,
"Your spray tanning session is now complete."
What just happened? You found your escape at Palm Beach Tan. Break from the chaos at a Palm Beach Tan near you and leave rejuvenated. Take time for yourself at Palm Beach Tan and take that feeling with you wherever you go. Get up to $25 off your first month. Featuring Australian Gold. Hot guy not included.
If there's anything better than getting a few of your favorite things from McDonald's, it's getting a few of your favorite things from McDonald's for less in the McDonald's app. Delicious. Order in the McDonald's app today.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Right now, only in the app. Enjoy a breakfast sandwich for just $1, like a sausage McMuffin with egg. Offer valid one time per day from 4/29 to 5/12/24 at participating McDonald's. Must opt into rewards.
Hi, my name is Leslie Jones, and I could give a shit if I was Conan's friend. Like a flying fuck. Like two shits and a dog, son.
Okay. Finally, first time. Someone has spoken the truth.
I don't know why people won't say it to your face. I'm not afraid of you.
Fall is here, hear the yell. Back to school, ring the bell. Brand new shoes, walking blues. Climb the fence, books and pens. I can tell that we are gonna be friends. Gonna be friends.
Hey there. Welcome to Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend. Wonderful show today for you.
I thought you meant just in general. I know, this is a wonderful show.
I thought you meant that too.
No, I should just say that.
Yeah.
Wow, what a wonderful show. Mm. Not today's, but just in general. Yeah. And I'm going to say, I'm going to include everything I've ever been involved with. Hey, welcome to Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend, and what an incredible body of work. Hi.
And what an incredible body.
Well, there's some problems there. I'm working on it. I'm working on my body. I am working on chiseling my way out of my COVID slump.
Okay, that's good.
How about a little something like, yeah, and you're doing a really good job. You look good.
Yeah, you're doing such, so hot.
Jesus, man.
You're so jacked.
Joined as always by Sonam Avsesian, wise ass to my right, and Matt Gourley, who I know has kind things to say about my efforts to lose the old COVID
choke
flap.
On your own scrotum.
Wow. Can you do that?
No, but seriously, I don't know about you guys. Did you guys? I did during... choked on someone else's scrotum. Come on, let's go.
Wow.
This is all going to come out.
Fine, buddy, I work.
There's nothing wrong with choking on scrotums. He doesn't have to get out.
Let's try and reel this in. And yes, there is. Because if you're choking and your windpipe is impaired, that's terrible.
Yeah, it's true.
Scrotum or no, choking bad.
Regardless of what it is.
Yeah. So just choking in general is bad. Doesn't have to be a scrotum.
It's called scroking.
Incredible.
I'm going to Google
you always
that.
Look at me. Adam just looks at me
Google
all
that.
The time now and just shakes his head. Like, this was a fine podcast.
You're raining on the parade, Adam. We're having a great scrotum talk.
Yeah. You brought me into this, Adam. It's your fault.
I know.
So I believe that I don't know about anybody else, but I let things go a little bit over COVID. I think about a lot of us did. I don't think you did, Gourley. You seem to be a trim fellow.
Oh, at first I really worked hard to stay in shape, and then I really let it go when the baby was born and put on more weight than I ever have.
Mm-hmm. So are you doing the thing that I used to do with my brother Neil? We realized that we loved Gerber's baby food.
Oh.
So when my brother Justin was born, my mom got this Gerber's food, and we were always famished, and there was a lot of us in the house, and we never thought there was enough food. The Gerber's banana is absolutely delicious.
Do you not remember we did a whole segment about this, and I brought...
Oh, we did. That's
I brought
right.
in...
Oh, we tried it.
My flavor of choice was the vanilla custard pudding, and that was delicious.
That is amazing. So I remember... Now I remember we did talk about this on the podcast.
When I was an adult.
But my thing is that baby food is so good.
Yeah.
But in general, when little kids are around, I don't know if you're doing this, Sona, but when little kids are around, their food is so much better than adult food.
You should try it now.
What is it like?
Oh, it's these like pouches made by Jennifer Garner and these little creamy like wafer biscuits.
What does Jennifer Garner have to do with anything?
She just knows what babies like.
That's true. Yeah. I just love when you said, oh, this incredible pouch made by Jennifer Garner.
You know what?
What are you getting that's paid true. On the side?
Well, because that's all I know. I have no idea what the story is.
You don't even care.
No, can we just plug it? Because my kids eat that too.
The what?
It's Once Upon a Farm. It's a delicious pouch, organic. It's delicious.
Let's make it
send
clear.
A shipment to us.
Let's make it clear to right me. Now.
Big shipment.
This is not a paid promotion or anything.
But it could be.
It could be. I laughed because clearly you're just starstruck. You're feeding your child. You don't even know what's in the food. So what did you give your kid today? You know,
well, and I gave her a cracker made by the Situation from Jersey Shore.
Yeah, exactly. What's in the cracker?
Just oil. Tanning
I don't know.
Oil.
Yeah. Tanning oil.
Yeah. I don't know anything about it. Amanda just told me that like, wow, this Jennifer Garner's company makes this and I tasted it and it's delicious.
It is really good.
Yeah.
It's good. It's all about that pouch life now.
Yeah.
Though. Yeah. You can even get empty pouches and fill it in with food you make.
Right.
And I don't understand. What do you mean an empty pouch? Why would you get an empty pouch?
Because the kids know to like grab it and suck the food out. And it's
do you realize we're raising a whole generation of kids that think that all meals should be eaten out of a pouch?
Yeah.
They're going to be gathering as old people around Thanksgiving tables, sucking mashed turkey out of a pouch. and that's what everyone's going to be doing if we don't stop it now.
Soylent Green.
Is that bad? Terrible.
It is bad.
That's all right.
Yeah.
You're getting the nutrients.
It's like huffing. I don't want this. If I saw babies just holding bags up to their faces and inhaling it, they look like addicts at a gas station. Station at 4 a.m.
Yeah, my babies need it every day. If they don't get it, they start to
huffing.
I was
to their pouches.
Oh yeah,
I watched
their pouch life.
I watched your boys attack a bag of little cheese balls.
Yeah,
little puffs.
Yeah, they'd love them puffs.
And you opened the bag, ripped open the bag, and just poured a bunch on the table.
Yeah,
and it was like pouring chum in the water in a shark infested tank. Just her two kids, Mikey and Charlie, like and then they're like a piece of the table was gone.
Was
afterwards.
It like hungry, hungry hippos?
It really is.
Yeah, a goink, 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 goink. And I didn't realize her babies, their jaws detach and they go out like the hippo and slide the pellet back in.
A bloop, a bloop, a bloop.
It also helps that one of your kid is bright red and the other is bright blue. you're welcome for the free plug, Jennifer Garner.
Send some food.
Yeah.
We like that those pouches.
All right, we got to get going. We have a terrific show today. My guest is a hilarious comedian who was a cast member on Saturday Night Live and has starred in such movies and TV shows as Ghostbusters, Coming to America, and Our Flag Means Death. Now she has a new podcast, The Fuckery, with Leslie Jones. She stole our title. And with Leslie Jones and Lenny Marcus, new episodes release every Thursday, wherever you get your podcast. I'm very excited to chat with her today. Leslie Jones, welcome. How are you? You look amazing.
Thank you. I try.
I think
it's a lot
effortless.
Of working out.
Oh, yeah.
You know, a lot of that, a lot of, you know, washing my face, brushing my teeth type thing.
Well, so great to have you here.
Thank
You're
you.
You're absolutely
so
hilarious. It's wonderful to have you here. And I know you have your own podcast now coming out soon, right?
Yes, it's called The Fuckery.
Okay, well, that we're not going to have that kind of language here. Oh, wait, we already have.
Oh, yes, I was going to say, well, then it's going to be a lot of bleeping going on.
Yeah, yeah,
son.
Yeah. The Fuckery. That's the name
the
of the podcast.
The Fuckery, yes.
Tell us what it's all about, the idea of this podcast.
It's really... It's everybody's always wanting to talk to me or hear my opinion about something or hear me just conversate about or want to know what I think about things. And at one point I was going to maybe take over for Ellen and it's just not a good idea. Just not a good idea to put me in the middle of the afternoon.
Right.
And I'm not always.
They call in the army.
You know what I'm saying? Like
they call in National
seriously
Guard.
Seriously, National Guard.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Straight guns to the head. And I was just like, it's too restrictive too. You know, you can't do shit. And you know that. So I was like, I want to be somewhere where I can say exactly what I want to say, how I want to say it and not give a shit. And they was like, podcast.
Yeah.
So me and my friend Lenny, we always have the greatest conversations, and we're just, everybody that see us talk to today was like, this has got to be on something. So we decided to do it.
Well, you're so great at, I've told you this before, I have friends of mine who rave all the time about your commentary that you do, whether it's at the Olympics or whether you're watching, you're just watching, you know, the 2020 election is happening.
Right.
Someone's giving an interview and you're there riffing off of what's happening. And it can be so funny and so raw, but also really funny.
Yeah. But I'm just saying what everybody's thinking.
Right.
And I think I say it in a way to where I try to, what I try to do is I try not to be offensive, but try to be honest. And the way to not be offensive is to be honest.
Yeah.
So, you know, like when they were doing all the newscasts and during the pandemic, I was like, I don't think these people realize what they room looked like. Like, I know this is seriousness, but I cannot take this bitch serious. But she got a picture of a dog fucking a frog. What is the fuck is happening? Like, there was people in straight torture chambers having Zooms, like, wasn't shit going on. Hey, bitch, this is a secret room in your house. I don't think this is supposed to be behind you. What the fuck?
You know, what's great was, you're absolutely right. When the pandemic first hit and everybody jumped on Zoom, nobody cleaned up their background. Now, what happened, I want to say 4 or 5 months into the pandemic, suddenly everybody had the same books they had never read.
Never.
Behind them, a picture of a dog that wasn't theirs.
Or flowers or ugly ass blinds. People decided to go ahead and let people know what they're like.
Yeah.
You know? Like, this one bitch had a, it was a whole mystery staircase and shit. Bitch, where are you? Are you in a dungeon, bitch? What the fuck?
Do you need help?
I mean, some of them is like, and some of them would just not give no effort and be in front of a white wall. And it's like, bitch, are you hostage? Do we need to send somebody in to get you? Jesus. One girl was in the break room. I was like, listen, goddammit, get your shit together. Get a fucking office. After I talked about her, they got her an office. Because I was like, she's not supposed to be in front of the Nescafe talking about what the fuck Trump is. This is not, I can't take this bitch serious. There's a Nescafe behind her.
Nescafe.
I wait for George Clooney to walk in this motherfucker.
So here's what's great, because this is something that I know that you got into stand-up because friends of yours, this was not the plan.
No.
This was not the plan for you.
I don't think I really had a real plan, Conan.
But those are my favorite people didn't have a real plan.
Listen, when I started college, first of all, you got to know, I got in college. I didn't realize that until the first semester. I was like, oh, these motherfuckers let me in. That's fucking hilarious. And then they was like, oh, you know, you got to pick a major. Major? What's that? It's like, what do you want to be? Oh, okay. All right. Let's play. All right. So
that's how, as serious as you should take that question.
Let's play.
Who knows at 18?
Yeah. And I was like, okay, so I want to be a lawyer. Okay. That lasted a week. Right. I got all those fucking books, went to one class, and this motherfucker was like, 25 cases a day you have to have read and analyzed. And I was like, you can go fuck yourself. Right. I do not care about the justice system at all, right? And I was like, okay, well, I'm good at math. I'm going to be a computer scientist. Mm-hmm. Microeconomics looked at me and said, you bitch. Skip this class. So after first class, I went up to the professor and I was like, yeah, I'm going to need to get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, I know. I can tell. Then I was like, okay.
I had you on the get the fuck out of here list.
Get the fuck out of here list. Yeah, like, literally, you just asked me why there's no plus and minuses in microeconomics. Yeah, bitch, where's the timetables? This is some bullshit. Then I was like, okay, so I'm going to be an architect. Oh, you got to know how to draw. Nope. Just too many fucking things. No. Then I was like, okay, what do I like to do? I like music. Okay. So I said, okay, I'm gonna be a DJ. So the school would let me be do the DJ and stuff. So sure. I took, for some reason, for a fluke, I took a communications class because I was like, whatever. First day in that class, they made us get up and see if we could talk in front of class. I talked for like 30 minutes. And the lady came over to me. She was like, you don't have to take this class. She was like, I'm going to go ahead and pass you. She's like, you need to go and start taking more classes like this. Because, you know, she's like, something's there. Right. You know, I was so at
good
first I was
her.
Like,
good for her. Though.
I was like, okay, well, I'm gonna be a good DJ or something, or I'm gonna be like an actress or something. Or like, I never thought comedian. All this time I'm making people laugh like crazy, but I never thought comedian. I always thought, oh, comedian is like Richard Pryor, Whoopi Goldberg, Eddie Murphy. I'm not that, you know. Right. Maybe I'll be an actress and I'll get to play Whoopi one day in a movie. That's as far as I would go. And took acting classes and stuff. And I don't know, none of it was really, I don't know, like grabbing on. I would do these little things, but I did notice that I was at parties. People were inviting me to parties because I was funny as fuck. And I was just, you know, so I got my scholarship changed over to Colorado State. My coach left Chapman and then went to Colorado State and took me with him. But he didn't tell me that it was going to be a red shirt year. I didn't know what red shirt was until I got there. And I was like, oh, I have to practice, but I can't fucking play the game. Fuck this. Like, I don't want to do this. Right. And I was hanging out with these girls, and this girl signed me up for a contest. She signed me up for a comedy contest on the campus, funniest person on campus. And she came in one day and she was like, well, we were walking through the thing and she saw the sign and she was like, you should sign up for that. And I was like, no, what the fuck is wrong with you? She's like, you're so fucking funny, bitch. You're so funny. I was like, bitch, you don't know what funny is. Cause again, I'm thinking Richard Pryor,
right?
Whoopi Goldberg, Eddie Murphy. You don't know what funny is. I'm okay. Right. She was like, she came to my apartment like 2 days later and she was like, yo, I signed you up for that contest. Oh. And I was like, bitch, what the fuck is wrong with you? Like, I'm not going to do that. I was mad at her, but I wasn't angry. And then I was just like, well, you think I can do it? And she was like, bitch, you are funny. Just get up there and start talking. So I was like, okay. So I went to this contest, and you know how comedians are that hear about a contest. Yeah. So all the comics from Denver came down to Fort Collins and try to intimidate us and right. shit. This is the first thing I learned, you know, but they don't know that, you know, I'm from a fucking hood where gangsters, pimps, hoes, crackheads, I done seen everything. So you're not going to pull one over on me, but I could see that they were intimidating the other comics. So I just went up and just started talking about my family and won the contest. But I'm going to tell you, the process of walking on that stage and touching the mic was absolutely religious.
Yeah.
I remember touching the mic and thinking, I have been doing this all my life already.
Yep.
It literally felt like something that was like it had been put on me. It was a perfect shirt. I don't know if that's the same experience, but I just remember speaking into the mic going, oh, I'm going to be doing this for the rest of my life.
What I can relate to, which I know to be true, is when I was growing up, I made people around me, I made my family laugh. Mm-hmm. I made my brothers and sisters laugh. Big family. I make kids in the neighborhood laugh. I make kids at school laugh. That was my secret weapon, and it got around that I was really funny. I didn't think that counted. Mm-hmm. I thought that just called,
yep.
You're funny with your friends.
And if
someone had ever said to me, you should be funny professionally, I'd say, well, no. Just like what you mm-hmm. said, I'd say, no, funny people, that's something else. Like right. professional comedians, professional talk show hosts, professional, anyone who's in front of people and they're paying money to see them and they're making them laugh, that's something very different. I don't know what that is, mm-hmm. and I'm 1,000,000,000 miles away from that.
Yep.
That is what I thought. And then when I started getting up in front of people and getting laughs, it felt exactly the same way, like I was a duck being put into water for the mm-hmm. first time and going, wait, this feels right. This mm-hmm. feels really good.
It feels
but
so
it
right.
But it still took years.
Oh.
Years yeah, and
I
years to
I
just
didn't
get
make
comfortable
it till I was 47.
It.
I didn't make it till I was 47. I think I was comfortable with doing comedy. But, you know, when you first start comedy, and this is what I tell new jacks, just first of all, real comics, we hate when people come up to us and ask, hey, what advice do you have for new comics? Because the first thing I'm going to say is quit. Because yeah. if you got to ask right now, then you're not going to hang in there to do what you have to do. But it still took years for me to learn how to actually perform.
Yeah.
You know, until I saw Jamie Foxx, I was just wailing out there. Just I didn't know that you have to write jokes that fit you. You don't just write jokes. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So I was going up there saying shit that did not. People were like, who the what? Like, yeah. What are you talking about? Like, I would get booed. I would just get scratched off by the DJ. And I saw Jamie Foxx one night and he performed. And I was like, oh, my God, that's OK. That's the form of comedy. That's what I want to do. OK, so how? Because I didn't think anyone could be funnier than Richard Pryor or Eddie Murphy or Whoopi Goldberg. Like I said, I had put them in that. And to see someone perform in that same genre of like, I was like, oh, mannerisms and shit. I was like, oh, this is it. This is, oh, shit. He's not, who is this guy? Like, so I remember getting my friend to talk to his friend so I can talk to him. And but he was like, you don't have shit to talk about. You know, you're a youngster. I was like 18. He was like, go get fucked. Go fuck someone. Go get your heart broke. Go break some hearts. Go get fired. Go get hired. Just go and live life so yeah. you can have some material. I just knew I had that wanting in me. And I was more scared of not going up than going up.
Yeah.
So it was that. But I knew that I didn't want to do it until I was good at it. So that's what I did. I went 6 years and lived life, had crazy times, and then came back in 93 and just been doing it ever since.
On the way in today, Sona, I was thinking about just how much has changed over the years.
Yeah.
You know, when I was a kid, we were all dancing the jitterbug and the watusi.
Okay.
And then you grow up now and there's mosh pits and everything's gone cuckoo. There's this new thing called rap. I don't know what's happening anymore. But guess what? In a world full of change, there's one thing that hasn't changed. Mm-hmm. The great taste of Miller Lite. Are you with me on this?
Oh, yeah. I'm right there with you.
Yeah. And you know, another thing that hasn't changed is that it's less filling.
Yeah.
I hate a filling beer. When I have a filling beer, I just want to sit down in a beanbag chair for 6 days, but not with Miller Lite. So what's the best thing about the original light beer?
Mm-hmm.
Back in 1975, the big debate in America was what's more important, that it's less filling, Miller Lite, or it tastes great.
Yeah.
The cool thing is when we all realized it's both.
Okay.
It's less filling and it tastes great.
Yeah, all right. Everybody wins.
Everybody wins. Miller Lite keeps it simple. Undebatable quality, great taste, only 96 calories. You don't have to choose what's best. Miller Lite has great taste and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Conan. Or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer.
Yeah.
Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Save big money on your next project with help from Menards. Move water where you need it quickly with a Barracuda sump pump. Sump pumps keep your basement dry when big storms hit unexpectedly. Get a half horsepower cast iron Barracuda sump pump on sale now through May 5th. Hurry into Menards. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
You're doing stand-up, and it feels to me, and this is something I've said a lot over the years, I've said, the trick of this business isn't to figure out some new person that you should be who's funny or resonates with people. The trick is to figure out who you always were and then do that in a weird situation, which means lights, cameras, people around. And, you know, here she is, Leslie Jones, music, you come out. That is a very unnatural environment. It's very, in some ways, very fake, but you got to crack. How can I be the person I was who killed at all those parties with your friends?
Mm-hmm. And that's what you do. You go into the search of who's, Leslie is the one that's funny, not these people that you've been, like I would rip a room and someone would come up to me and go, oh my God, you're so fucking funny. Oh my God, you're one of the funniest people I've ever seen. And I would be like, I'm good. I'm okay. And they would be like, well, what the fuck? And I was like, well, you know, I'm not Richard Pryor. Yeah. And they'd be like, well, I don't fucking like Richard Pryor like you. Like, give yourself some love. Like, yeah. 'Cause I like you. I've never seen Richard. So I just saw you. And I had to stop myself from doing that. You know, I had to go, okay, so it's you up here telling these jokes. It's you writing these jokes. So it's you. You.
Also, adulation doesn't get you anywhere.
Right.
So if you know, I spent so many years, thinking I have no right to even be in the same room as all these incredibly funny people that I admire. That doesn't take you anywhere. Mm-hmm. That leaves you cold.
Yep.
They're, you know, sure, they're great. They're great, but it's isolating and it cuts the creative process off. And in a way, absolutely, you have to figure out, okay, yes, they're great. They're amazing. But I got to put that away right now and figure out who I am. And if someone likes that, great. Maybe we can get something going.
And it's much more like, it's just the same thing as like Kobe. Is Kobe as good as Michael? Well, Michael was Michael. Kobe was Kobe. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So it's in that same fact. Like I was just telling my friend, I was like, I wonder if we're going to have to start letting go of the Whitney Houstons and the Michael Jacksons and the Princes and the admiration for them so we can let room in for these new artists. I just went and saw Bruno Mars and Anderson .Paak. Like, that was the most incredible concert I've ever seen. And those they are so talented, but I'm so scared no one's going to know that they're this talented until too late.
Right.
You know, like, we got to give them some love. Right now, they're creating great things. Yes, Prince was incredible. Yes, Michael Jackson was incredible. Yes, Whitney Houston was fucking incredible. Like, but we got to start.
We got to support the people who are here now.
Who is incredible now? If that's the case, then we go all the way back and say, Marvin Gaye was the best singer ever. You know what I'm saying?
Like, and then we don't go anywhere. Yeah, we don't move
exactly,
on.
Exactly, exactly, exactly. And that's what's wrong with us. This whole world right now is that we're so absolutely frightened to move the fuck on.
Yeah.
We're so goddamn frightened. And it don't make no damn sense, because if we don't move on, we are going to die.
What do you think we're frightened of?
We're frightened of change.
Yeah.
We don't understand that we've already been changing. If we hadn't changed, we would all be dead from dysentery. Do you get what the fuck I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just amazing to me how we're not believing science, how we're not believing our advancement. I was in the airport. And we were in this little trolley that takes you around the airport, and it's fucking brick wall. I was like, we can build this shit, but we don't believe in vaccines. Make it make fucking sense. And for us to now just all of a sudden, a profession that we fucking hold so high, we don't even believe the doctors no more. Right. What the fuck is wrong with us? Mm-hmm. What the fuck is wrong with us? And I feel like social media has been a blessing and a curse in that, because they've given everybody a platform.
Yes.
People who and I love you people, but some of y'all don't need to talk. I love you to death, but some of y'all need to keep your fucking opinion in your goddamn kitchen.
Yeah.
You know how sometimes people say, don't say that shit out loud. Some of y'all need to put that on your fucking door and just keep your shit to yourself, son. There's a reason that we don't say everything on our mind.
Yeah.
There's a reason that you have censors. There's a reason.
You know, the idea initially when social media first came along is this is going to bring us all together. And then the great irony is that everybody's completely isolated, because I don't have to, if I don't like, you know, Leslie, if I don't like your opinion or I don't like what you're saying, I never have to see you or hear you, because I can modify everything in my life
to block
so that
me
I
out.
Only see. Oh, and I've tried. No.
And you will never block me out.
I try, and you just keep showing up in a new media.
Fucking show up.
But it's true.
She wasn't even invited on this podcast.
I know.
She just showed up.
You were supposed to be here today. She came crashing through the door. You just punched Henry Winkler and came running in.
I love punching him too.
But no, it is so crazy to me that everyone can just take a bath in their own opinions and their own ideas and never be challenged.
And never be checked.
Yeah.
That's accountability is just what everyone needs to learn. Accountability. Even down to driving. Like, I was driving the other day, and you know, Melrose is fucked up because of the construction, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so everybody's trying to get along. Everybody's like, okay, we're gonna make fucking do with this. One motherfucker that needs to pull over to the side and fucking back up in the middle of the fucking traffic. But no one says anything. No one's bopping their horns. No one's saying, motherfucker. No police there checking. So you're going to do what the fuck you want. Yeah. That's exactly what's going on now.
Yeah.
No one's getting checked because everybody's so sensitive. No one knows how to say, sit your motherfucking ass down because, oh, we're not supposed to say that. Yes, you are. It's a thing that's going on now where people are not falling down. You need to fall down so you can get back up. Mm-hmm. People are not scratching their knee. I want to scratch everybody's knee. Do you get what I'm saying?
You mean you think people need to
fucking hurt.
Yeah.
People have this thing right now where, oh, you old people, y'all glamorize suffering. No, bitch ass motherfuckers. We glamorize being strong. We glamorize learning a fucking lesson. We glamorize, hey, if you make a fucking mistake, you made a mistake, get your ass up and fucking either fix it or keep it moving.
Right.
We don't learn, oh, we made a mistake. Everybody hug each other. No. You fucked up. You fucked up. You fucked up. Tell somebody they fucked up. You're wrong. That's wrong. That's bad.
You know, it's interesting. You just said, I've noticed this recently. Nobody says anymore, all right, I was wrong. I never hear that. And you used to have to hear it because the analysis would come out, the election would be over, the results would come in, and someone would go, well, okay, I was wrong. I thought I was going to win, but I didn't. Now, people that run for office say, if I didn't win, because it was fixed. But if I do win, then it was still kind of fixed, but I still won anyway.
It's fucked up.
Yeah. And so I think you're right. I'm in my life, in my personal life, when I walk around, if anybody says, you know what, I made a mistake and I'm sorry, I think that person's a genius. Like I have so much respect for it, and it completely changes the way I see them and the way I feel about them.
Even if a motherfucker say, my bad, yo. Yeah. I give messages, man, my bad, yo. I people who project, it's a lot of projection. We have a passive aggressive is the new thing now, you know?
Yeah.
Read between the lines. I'm saying what the fuck I really mean, but I'm not saying what I really mean.
Right.
You know, and it's disgusting. Yeah. It's like in other words, fake it till you make it is making shit float. Do you know what I'm saying? Back in the day when you used to say, I fake it till I make it, that means that I'm going to fake it until I really actually learn what the fuck I'm going to do. Now it means I'm just going to fake it all the way to the top.
Oh, yeah.
And because let me tell you, world renowned, every time I hear somebody say world renowned, I punch them in the face because go fuck yourself. I hate world renowned. Oh, I'm world renowned. Have you been to Compton? Because I'm from Compton. If you ain't been from Compton, Compton's in the world. You can't deal with me. Go fuck yourself, world renowned ass bitch.
Man, I was about to say I'm world renowned. No, and I luckily didn't. World-renowned shit. Guess what? Leslie, I was going to do it because sometimes it's something I just say. Sometimes I just say, you know what? I'm kind of world renowned. And then
I cannot believe how many people say world renowned to me.
Really?
And it's so hilarious. It's like it's like saying I know Kim Kardashian. Look, go fuck yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
I remember this because I remember going, oh my God, that's really embarrassing, Leslie. I remember when I got SNL and mm-hmm. I had to meet with Lauren and I was sitting there, you know, it was in the process.
Now Lauren's world renowned.
Very much. He owns half of the world.
Shit. Leslie, come here.
Leslie, I want to meet you. Leslie, I think that you're so... Leslie, yes. Oh, man, so many imitations. I love imitating him. He's so funny. But I remember meeting him for the first time, mm-hmm. and I'm in the office, and I was fucking shitting bricks. I could tell this man was somebody who fucking just... He's the motherfucker, right?
Yep.
And I'm just sitting in this office in front of him and I'm like, I'm just, okay, like I'm old too. I'm like 47, so I should be able to say something mature, you know, like, you know? And
Trust me, that does not come with age. It does not.
And I remember looking at this man and saying, I can't even believe I said it. I said, hey, if you want to ask somebody about me, call Eddie Murphy. He know me. And he know I'm funny. And Lauren was like,
He's like a fish in a tank. Blurp, blurp,
blurp, blurp. Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure you're funny. I'm sure you're real funny.
It's like, fuck! I just remember thinking, I don't mean shit.
Yeah.
He don't give a fuck. Who gives a fuck?
Yeah, but he knows. I mean, the thing is, you wouldn't have been in his world if he didn't know you were funny. I mean,
I was just in that position of just like, I need to impress him. I need to feel like, you know, you need to feel like you need to be
I've been
there.
Right there with and that man and felt the same way.
You don't, you just be you. Like, I didn't know if then I really wish I would have known that just be me. I didn't learn that until maybe 6 months into SNL, that the way I was going to win at SNL was to be me.
Yeah.
You know, I was trying to be everybody else. I'm a Virgo. So Virgos are perfectionists and we're trying to fucking with people pleasers too. And it's like when I walked in there, I was a dope ass comic and I'm like, I'm going to prove to you motherfuckers I'm funny. And didn't have no respect for sketch comics at all.
See, this is what I want to ask you about this.
I had no respect for sketch comics. As a matter of fact, when they told me to come and fucking do it, I was like, yeah, I can do it because these sketch motherfuckers don't know how to do comedy. They only know how to do fucking pretend shit. They're not funny. Put them in front of a fucking mic.
Yeah.
And let me tell you something. That motherfucking table read, but sitting between A.D. Bryant and Taryn and fucking Keenan in front, and these motherfuckers was changing their voice every 5 seconds and doing shit. I was just like, what the fuck is, like Taryn singing straight like Sam Smith at any second, A.D. just busting, Kate busting into rap. It was like, what the fuck? I felt like a dumb motherfucker. I felt like I had went to college and met a gang of people that's way more talented than me. So it was just now, then it was a mission of like, oh, I got to prove I'm funny because these motherfuckers are funny. I got to prove that I can, you know, I can give something to this equation. And I really was not being myself. I was really trying to be something else. And until one day, Keenan, I was smoking weed with Keenan, and Keenan was like, man, you be having me busting the fuck up in this room. He was like, why we don't see this motherfucker? And I was like, I mean, because, you know, I'm kind of ghetto. You know, I'm ghetto and shit. You know, the motherfuckers ain't going. He was like, man, this is the motherfucker they need to see.
Yeah.
So that's the person. So I started. That's when I started catcalling in the middle of the hallway. Like he would be standing there with Lauren. And I'd be like, you's a fine ass white motherfucker. Oh, my God. I've never seen a white man so fucking fine. And I would just and they would just laugh and laugh. So I would get on the elevator with him. And I know because he was always with Lauren. So whenever I would get on the elevator with him, I'd just be like, so if I invited you to my house, would you come? And he would be like, Leslie, you can't do that. Like Lauren's, I was like, Lauren wants me to get some too. Like, and Lauren would just start laughing. So it was just like, hey. And then I wrote my first update. And the first thing I said was, you delectable Caucasian. And that was it.
That's great.
Colin was like, yeah, we got to do something with this. We got to. And but I was really in love with Colin. I was in love with Colin for literally the first whole season.
Really?
I was so fucking in love with him. And he knew it. He knew it and he took advantage of that love. He really did. He fucking motherfucker. I'm saying this and I hope you're listening to Conan O'Brien right now because I know that you knew that I was in love with you.
And he strung you along.
He strung me fucking along, Colin. Yeah. Colin, I would text him at 2:00 in the morning and be like, no one's going to know. No one's going to know. Just come over real quick. Just come over. And he would be like, Leslie, you know I got a girlfriend. So? Fuck that bitch. I was like, I've seen her. She's so skinny. You're not having fun with her. You're not having fun with her, Colin. You're not having fun with her. And I literally was so in love with him. And I think one time I did an update, and it was so, it never got to air, but it was so, I remember Lauren looked at Colin and goes, yo.
If Lauren says yo, things are off the hook already. Yeah.
Fucking she she fucking Keenan was like, you really like that dude, huh? And I was like, let's not talk about it. The day that I gave up on Colin was like a sad day because I was just like, he's never going to fucking like me the way that I like him. And then he did something. Then I started hearing things about him and I was like, oh, he dirty. Then I wanted him more.
You like a dirty guy, huh?
I love a dirty motherfucker.
Well, good news. Oh, wait. I got it.
What? I was like, you don't seem dirty at all. You know what I'm saying? Wait, wait a minute. Do you want to hear about our beef?
Yeah, well, we got beef, I'm told.
Okay, so I'm trying to remember when this was. Yes. Okay. When I had to host, I think it was the BET Awards. Mm-hmm. Remember I had to come and do Conan O'Brien?
Had to. Got to. Let's do another take of that. What do you mean I had to go do Conan O'Brien?
I had to. They put that shit on the press. I was like, motherfucker. The fuck.
That's what my wife says. My wife says I had to do Conan O'Brien. I was like, for Christ's sake.
I was like, what the fuck am I going to talk to this motherfucker about, man? But I wanted to do it because I was like, kind of, all the white people like him. I was like, he seems really funny. Now, every time I saw you, you was really funny. I was like, I didn't know you was as tall as you was, too. And I was like, damn, this guy's tall. But I don't know who the producer was. I don't know if y'all friends, but he was so fucking weird. And
I don't know who you talked to.
He was a weird motherfucker. I don't remember this guy, but I just remember him making me just not uncomfortable. But,
oh, you mean the guy that talks to you before the show?
I wanted to beat him up. Uh-huh. I wanted to
describe him physically.
He's like, he looks like John Schaefer. He had bald head, had glasses. I just remember him being nervous. I think he had a condition.
I don't think he worked on our show.
I
think you talked to someone in the hallway who said,
no.
Let's go over your notes for Conan.
Yeah, he was like,
and then he ran down the hall
and insisting on stuff. And I was like, no, don't talk about that. Don't talk about that.
Yeah.
And then he said, well, can I mention, because he was like, you have a boyfriend. And I was like, no, we were just starting to talk to each other.
Sure, yeah.
So I was like, no, don't mention that at all. Because he was already squeamish about dating me anyway. So I was like, no, don't mention that. And what's the fucking first thing that you said? You asked about a boyfriend.
Uh-huh.
And then I'm the type of person that doesn't lie. I really don't lie. It's very hard.
Right.
So I was like, oh, we kind of, and I think I said something like, oh, I think I'm kind of mad at him or something like that.
Uh-oh.
As something I said, but I was like in my head trying to answer you and like, what the fuck? Why did you fucking ask me that? Because the next day, Colin.
So
Colin's maybe you now have a thing for me.
No, Colin's talking. Colin and Conan sounds the same.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Just like, you know, whatever. Yeah, yeah.
You want my number?
No, I don't. No,
I didn't think you did. So can I have yours?
You need a friend. You need a friend, Colin. You need a motherfucking friend, Conan. So the next day, this motherfucker sends me, because after that happened, every news thing picked up.
Oh.
Leslie Jones is dating someone. This motherfucker sends every article that mentions him to my phone.
Damn.
And he was like, especially sent the clip from your fucking show. And I was like, he sends me the clip. But my people was like, he's a bitch. He's a bitch. The fact that he sent you articles, that means that motherfucker went and looked for these. That's bitch shit.
Yeah.
So I shouldn't have been with him anyway.
Yeah, I did you a favor, first of all.
You did.
No,
but,
I will say this.
Fuck off because you fucked it up.
No, yeah. I will say this, Leslie. I never, ever, if I knew that someone didn't want to talk about something, I never did. Because that would really upset me, and it upsets me to know that. Seriously, no, I don't like that. And
well, it's okay because, like you said, you did do me a favor.
Yeah, well, yeah, but I don't like that. I don't like that. You were asked something that you didn't want to be asked because that's not.
Well, I played it off really well.
I'm sure you did.
Don't feel bad. The guy's gone.
Well,
and he should have been.
Maybe I'd like because to I, hang out with him.
No, fuck that. I bought him a first class ticket to come out and he didn't show up.
Oh.
Fuck that guy.
All right. Well, I did the right thing then.
You did. He was just.
I got to figure out who this producer is.
I know.
You're not supposed to do that. If someone says, I don't want to talk about something, you're not supposed to do
and
it.
And he was really forceful. Like, he was, I just remember thinking, this guy, he said he worked with you for a long ass time. He was the guy, I just remember him glasses, and I remember him having a condition because he told me about his condition.
A condition? he's telling you about his condition?
Yeah.
Are you sure this wasn't a ghost?
Yeah. No, he was saying.
What kind of show are we running?
He said that he was, because I was like, are you like ADHD or something? And he was like, he said something that he had. And I was like, yeah, that's
you know what? Yeah, I got to say, what kind of show am I running?
Yeah.
Where I say, hey, we need a segment producer to talk to Leslie Jones. Who've we got?
I'll do it, boss. All right. Here's what you got to do. First of all, make sure that if she's uncomfortable with something, that it's the first thing out of my mouth. Okay, got it. Second of all, and this is important, do you have eczema? Yeah, I have eczema. Good. Make sure you mention it to her. What the fuck is that all about?
No, I just remember thinking, this fucking guy, man. But he said he had been with the show forever. He was a big fan of mine. Well, I just remember him being short, bald head, glasses.
I'm going to take care of this. I'm just going to say some shit's going to go down now.
You're going to get a finger in a box on your doorstep.
There's going to be a hawk's head on your lawn.
You should have never mentioned this guy. Poor guy.
Oh. Well, anyway.
Oh, God, that's so fucking funny.
Well, I'm glad we cleared the air. I'm sorry that we had beef because you're absolutely hilarious.
So hilarious.
And one of the things I love about this segment, and this is why I'm looking forward to your podcast, because you're talking about something that I think I've been preaching about for a long time. Right. It comes up a lot, which is, I think there are a lot of people out there right now who are listening to you who think or have seen you perform and think, well, I can't do that. Mm-hmm. That's Leslie Jones. She can do that. But that's not me. I'm funny, but I'm not. What she's doing is a whole other thing. And they separate themselves. It's very self-hating. They put you on a pedestal. And what they're also doing is belittling themselves. Well, and I try to tell people it's figuring out where you are, what you have to say, connecting to that. And it takes time, too. Like, I'm still, I look at stuff I did in the, 25 years ago on TV, and I go, oh, man, I'd do that so, I think I'd do that much better now. Yeah.
I think, too, now kids are just lazy, too. They kind of want to find out what's the secret. So when a lot of comics come up to me and be like, oh, I want to be a comic, what do you give advice? Have you been on stage yet? If you haven't, get the fuck out of my face. Because it's just like, I didn't have anyone to ask. I don't even remember asking that question to any comic of like, what should I do to be better? I think the only thing I asked Jamie Foxx, I remember asking him like, oh, okay, so is there things that I need to do? Is there places I need to go? Is there stuff, exercises or whatever? And it's just like, he was just like, no, you need to get on stage and just perform. So it's just like, these kids need to know that in your first 3 years, you're supposed to be struggling. You're supposed to have problems. It's not something that, like, people get into this and go, oh, I'm funny, I'm going to be just as funny. But you don't know the mechanics of it.
Yeah.
You don't know the mechanics of standing in front of an audience that's staring back at you and waiting for you to speak. You don't even know how you stand on stage. You don't know if you need to sit down. You don't know if you need to have water. You don't know none of that shit in your first year. So your first year is really you touching the mic. You should only have one joke.
Yeah.
Like, literally one good joke. Go up and tell that joke and get the fuck off stage. And that's real talk.
You know, the other thing that you do so well is you mix it up with people. Your crowd work, you mixing it up with people is
my favorite thing in the world.
It's so funny. And
it's my favorite thing in the world.
There's so often I see people that, that do it and it's like, well, that's okay. But it just feels like it's packing peanuts. It's just filler. It's not really getting us anything. Mm-hmm. But you really go on the attack.
It's not even an attack. It's a story that I see. When I look at a person, I make up a whole thing. Yeah. And it's so fun to explore that. My main thing when I'm doing crowd work is to make the person that I'm talking about laugh just as hard as everybody else in the room.
Right.
So I really do it with joy. I never want anyone to feel like they're feeling fucked up.
But you know what? That's a lot like, one of the greatest of all time at this, if not the greatest, was Don Rickles. That's what he achieved too. He would go in and it would the same thing. He would be tearing into someone, but the person would be dying laughing and could feel his good intent. He would have been horrified if he thought that he really did hurt someone's feelings, because he was a very sensitive person.
Yes.
And I think you're the same way. When I say attack, I mean the energy. I meant the energy and intensity with which you go at it, which is full-throated, I'm going to go after this person right now, but do it in a way that there's a lot of love in it.
It's so fun.
And it's really funny.
And it's fun for me because I love making up shit. I love looking at the person and trying to figure out what's going on in their life and what I might think that's going on in their life. It be for me. The crowd work is for me. Like, I'm doing the jokes for y'all. The crowd work is for me because I like to meet new people. I like to talk about people. I like to make people laugh at themselves. I really love making people laugh at themselves because That is the best laugh ever, because you'll laugh at that even when no one's around. You'll go, that shit was funny what she said about me. God damn it. I'm going to use that myself. Like, you'll use it yourself. Like, there's nothing better than when people come back on my Instagram and be like, oh my God, I just got roasted by Leslie. Oh my God, I'm the so-and-so, so-and-so girl. It's so fun. Yeah. I love shit like that. I remember David Spade came into a Comedy Store and I was just on stage just going, just like from table to table, just going. And he was like, what the fuck? So the best way that I can describe how good I got at crowd work was, I can't remember this girl, Simply Marvelous. I don't know if you know Simply Marvelous. She was in a lot of black movies.
I don't know Simply Marvelous.
Yeah, no. She was in one of the Friday movies as John Witherspoon's wife. That's okay. The only thing I can think of right now. But she was a fucking, like, she would go from table to table. She taught me a little bit. But J.B. Smoove gave me the best advice about crowd work. He says that, say, the first thing that comes to your mind, because it's usually from God.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, every time I've done that, it has destroyed the room. Like, destroyed the room.
You know, it's crazy that you said that, because I've a long time ago noticed if something pops into my head and I just say it, 99.9% of the time it goes well. If I stop myself and think a little more.
You fuck it up.
I fuck it up.
You fuck it up. Let me tell you why. Because you have two people in your head. You have the joke writer and then you have the performer.
Yeah.
Okay. The performer wants the performance to go right, but the joke writer wants you to tell the joke. Always listen to the joke writer. Yeah. The performer don't know what the fuck they're doing. Yeah. The performer does what the joke writer does. It's just that
I have a third person in there, the pervert.
Yeah. We all have that person. Gee. We have the third person.
Well, he's in there. This is a cry for help.
I can watch all the other shit.
I'm watching the other two and like,
this is great. When they argue, oh my God.
Oh my God.
I literally just did that the other day on stage. There's this line that I've been using. I like to use the real story. Whenever I'm doing a joke, I like to tell the real story because usually the real story is hella funny. But I thought of an alt to this line. So while I'm telling the joke writer and the performer is completely fighting in my head. Complete like, yo, say this line. Say this fucking line. I'm telling you right now, that's just going to kill. Then the performer's like, no, that's not what happened. The real thing that happened is actually funny. But it's like, no, fuck this. This is funny.
Right.
This will make this joke better. Just fucking do it. You never listen to me. Listen to me now. and that the joke writer won. I did the alt fucking kill.
Yeah.
But then the performer's standing on the side going, well, that's not the real story. So what's going to happen when I want to do the real story? Because that shit is funny too. So what the fuck?
You know,
so
the answer here is you're never completely happy. If you're going to work in comedy, I don't care how hard you kill, how
you
well things go.
You will think you're funny.
You will always leave feeling a little conflicted, a little it could have gone differently. You know what? You are a very busy person, and I promised I would get you out of it because you have a lot going on.
Yeah, we've been talking that long.
But you know what? Yeah, we have. But this has been a delight.
Yes.
I love you. You're fantastic.
Thank you.
You are welcome here anytime. If you ever want me to sneak by your apartment,
Wow. No.
I mean, you know how he keeps offering himself to
your podcast.
You know, I do have a pool that's heated.
Your podcast, The Fuckery. I want to make sure I get the word out on The Fuckery.
The Fuckery, yes.
I could listen to you all day, and I will. And I'm so glad that you're going to do this, because this is such a great format for you.
It's so good,
It's perfect for you, and people are going to laugh, but they're also going to be improved by listening to you.
Absolutely. It's so fun. It's the full, unfiltered version of me.
Yeah. Well, I think that's always you. finally. Finally unfiltered.
Shit!
All right, you take care, Leslie. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Coder!
It's been a while since we've done some voicemails. Do you guys want to stop bickering and stop playing slap ass? I see what you're doing. Let's do some more.
Can I just say, Sona tried to grab my water and read the label. I didn't like the intrusion, so I went to just give her a little bing with my pen, just a little swat.
That's my pen.
No one likes a tattletale.
Yeah.
Snitches get stitches.
Yeah, I don't
snitches get stitches, or they get lightly tapped with a pen. Okay, let's go.
Okay, we're going to do a voicemail. We haven't done this in a while.
Let's do a voicemail.
All right, Eduardo, hit it.
Hi, Conan. My name's Arnold. I was wondering if it's possible to be intermittently funny. Sometimes I nail it, and I think about comedy and like to do it, but other times it just falls flat, you know? I was also wondering, last spring, dug myself this little pond here, got the tractor halfway stuck in. It's a good old 78 International. I'm still not figuring out how to pull that out, but You get ideas, there's my number here. All right, bucko.
There's no way this is a real person.
Is that real?
That is not a real person.
I think it's real.
I think it's not a real person. Whoever you are, my hat's off to you. Fantastic performance. No. Now, cool, I'm going to. What are you talking about? Now, bucko? Now that they're at my 78 international? No.
Well, what if it is? Now you've hurt his feelings.
I know.
No. Listen, first of all, no one's funny all the time. Well, that's not true. There are exceptions. But everyone's intermittently funny. Even the greats. The greats are intermittently funny. No one's funny all the time. And sir, if this really is you and you are a real person, what did he say his name was?
Arnold.
Yeah, not a real person. I just don't buy it. Do you?
I'm very gullible. I believe everything.
I don't think it's a real person.
No, you guys don't think so?
So I listened to 700 voicemails and I can tell, I feel like I have a good sense now of what's fake and what's not. Yep. I think Arnold's real.
I agree.
I
heard
real.
A lot of people try, I have heard a lot of voicemails of people putting on an affect or whatever. And I feel like.
It occurred to me that he might be fake, but ultimately when I listen, I think he's real.
Can we start listening to it again, and then, Eduardo, when I give you a signal, stop it so I can give different notes. Here we go.
Hi, Conan. My name's Arnold. I was wondering if it's possible to be intermittently funny. Sometimes I nail it, and I think about comedy and like to do it, but other times it just falls flat, you know? I was also wondering, last spring, dug myself this little pond here, got the tractor halfway stuck in. It's a good old 78 International.
That's the part that I think is fake.
No.
That's the part I was in. I was okay with it. I was suspicious, but in. But then he brings up, for no reason, he crams in this thing about, he says, I was thinking, and then he brings up, I got my tractor stuck, the old 78 International, and digging myself a hole.
Is that a real tractor?
Yes, but I'm not buying that part.
No, I believe it. I believe it. Mm-mm. I think I like to think that there's a guy named Arnold somewhere who's wearing overalls and listening to this podcast, and he likes to think he's funny, and he looks up to you as a comedy person.
Well, listen, I'm not trying to hurt anyone's feelings, but I'm telling you, as a professional, I had a show, and one of the main comedic staples of my show was me being interrupted by kooky characters halfway through after the first guest for years, thousands of them. And they sound like this guy.
I understand your suspicion, but, and I mean, I had a flag raised too, but ultimately it still feels on the real side to me.
Me too. Yeah. I think he's real. How do we find out?
Can we call him? I guess we have his number.
We have his number. We can call him.
Can we call him?
Yeah.
Let's call him now or
now?
Should we do that later?
Let's call him now.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm nervous. Let's do it.
I will also.
What if he answers the phone? I say, hello.
What do we do if
hello?
He's real?
Hello, you've called the home of noted voice and character actor Charles Winthrop Charleston.
Voice and character actor and tractor collector and enthusiast.
And tractor aficionado Charles. What's this? Oh, you're looking for... Oh, Arnold, is it? Well, hold on a second. Gargle, gargle, gargle. Way.
I'll also say, before we call him, this voicemail is like from like February, so he called a long time ago.
He's probably still pinned under a tractor.
Yeah.
Just, you know, I don't... Right. I'm sorry.
What
I don't want to hurt anyone.
Do if he's real?
I'll fix it.
Okay, so I don't want to say anything because I'm scared and nervous.
I'm so... I think there's a bunch of listeners out there who are on my side
right now.
I think, because I think it's on the line.
I like to think he's real.
Yeah, you can.
I don't care what you like to think.
Okay, here we go.
I want to know the truth. I like to think that he's real.
We're rolling.
Here we go.
Your call has been forwarded to an automated voice messaging.
This will tell us a lot.
7-0.
Damn it.
He might think that you're spam call.
He might think we're spam.
So you gotta call.
What happens when people are calling from the spam corporation? Like that makes the, you know, that makes the food product spam and it shows up as spam. Sorry. Please answer.
Don't fuck us.
If he sends it to voicemail and do it a third time, that means business.
Please, fake Arnold.
Your call has been forwarded to an automated
one more
voice
time.
Messaging system.
One more time?
And then we leave a message.
And then we leave a message.
Seven.
I think if there's a third call, people will take it seriously. Otherwise, he's just unavailable. Off. Yeah. And no, it goes straight to voicemail, right?
Your call has been forwarded to an automated voice messaging system.
Well, let's leave a message.
At the tone, please record your message. When you finish recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Hello, Arnold. This is Conan O'Brien calling from the podcast Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend. I got your message. I have some questions for you. I hope you're well. Don't worry about being intermittently funny. That's all of us. Just want to chat with you briefly about the old 78 International. I'm a bit of a tractor fan, so please call me back. Yes.
Tell him he can text us that number.
You can text us to this number and we'll get in touch with you. Yes. Interested to have a little talk. Yes. You're a good guy. Over and out.
Okay. Well, we hope to have more on this in a later segment. That's all we can say.
I'm very, and listen, Arnold, I don't mean to impugn you in any way. It's just that when you started to go on about the Harvester, I mean, the International 78 tractor, it felt like you were, it felt to me like you were piling on a little bit. Like you were really trying to give it an extra dose of the good old country feller. And that's, to me, felt like maybe you're doing a voice.
See, I thought he was a real person who does want to be funny and works with tractors and thought it might be funny if I name check something super specific.
Yeah.
But in what context does he bring up the tractor?
Exactly. He's funny. He's going non sequitur. He's going out of context.
Okay. You are thinking about it way too much.
I'm with Gourley. I think that he knows what he sounds like. And he's like, I'm digging a pond and my tractor fell in it. And that's really funny. And I agree. It is really funny. That the tractor fell in.
I think it's sad. A 78 International, that's a great old tractor, and I'm sorry that his tractor fell and got wet.
I don't know anything about tractors.
Adam, you're with me, right? I'm not alone on this.
If it's worth anything, I looked up his area code, 707. Oh, it's a California area code.
Oh.
Where in California? If it's Central California, we're still in business.
The 707 area code serves the cities of American Canyon, Arcata, Benicia,
Calistoga. Rural, agricultural, California.
Yeah.
Tractor land USA.
So many ponds.
I don't know. Possibly.
Well, that wasn't really a California rural accent.
I know. That's the other thing. First of all, he sounds like he's narrating an old Southern story, doesn't he? Yeah. Well, you know, puts me in mind of an old tale. I mean, he should be, you know what I mean? He's
Arnold, call us and don't fake it. Tell us for real. Call back and let us know, please, Arnold.
Yes. Thank you, Arnold.
To be continued.
Yeah.
Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend. With Conan O'Brien, Sonam Ovsesian, and Matt Gourley. Produced by me, Matt Gourley. Executive produced by Adam Sachs, Joanna Solitaroff, and Jeff Ross at Team Coco, and Colin Anderson and Cody Fisher at Earwolf. Theme song by The White Stripes. Incidental music by Jimmy Vivino. Take it away, Jimmy. Our supervising producer is Aaron Blair, and our associate talent producer is Jennifer Samples. Engineering by Will Beckton. Additional production support by Mars Melnick. Talent booking by Paula Davis, Gina Batista, and Britt Kahn. You can rate and review this show on Apple Podcasts, and you might find your review read on a future episode. Got a question for Conan? Call the Team Coco hotline at 323-451-2821 and leave a message. It too could be featured on a future episode. And if you haven't already, please subscribe to Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever fine podcasts are downloaded. This has been a Team Coco production in association with Earwolf.